I found a nice little walkway along the Onagi River. Not Unagi with a U, which means eel. This is Onagi with an O, which I have no idea what that means. I know Oni means devil. So could this be the Devil Eel River? Probably not. There's probably no relation at all to those sounds. And it's actually really calm and nice. You know, it's one of these Tokyo rivers that's like 10 meters across, although around here there's a bunch of stuff because it all is leading into Tokyo Bay. So there's some of the really big rivers too that strike me more as like that Canada-sized, whoa, that's a river. But this is still a very respectable river and it's really nice. And there's like I just walked under a big industrial looking pipe that goes by overhead. And now here's a really rusty train bridge. And then ahead of it is a truck. Like, I'm trying to figure out what this neighborhood is. I basically started, I'm basically south of the Sky Tree. And now I'm walking east. It's mostly, I mean, when I first left, I guess that specific area, just because, oh, here goes a train across the rusty bridge. But yeah, I guess that specific area around where I am does seem to have quite a few places for people to stay, I guess just because of the Sky Tree. I wonder what the story was with making the Sky Tree. Because again, I've never been to the Tokyo Tower, but I was in the vicinity when I had to get my passport renewed at the Canadian passport office, the embassy. But I just wandered around randomly and I was like, hey, if I see it, I see it. If I don't, I don't. And I didn't. But now that I have maps on my phone, I mean, I should probably just go wander by it at some point. But yeah, I wonder, putting the Sky Tree out here, I got to imagine before the Sky Tree, there was probably not a lot of people coming out here. I guess, you know, the row of temples and stuff across the river is pretty famous. But yeah, this place, when I first left, I was like, okay, this must be like a hotel type place because I saw some other hotels and I saw another foreign person walking around. It's like noon or something. Actually, it's probably closer to one now. And the place I'm staying, it's connected to this weird little bar that, I don't know, wasn't open last night. It wasn't open today. I don't know when it opens. There's like, wine and mushrooms. It's very fancy pants. And I guess they are only open in very limited capacities, very limited times. It is kind of neat, though, having an Airbnb connected to a little restaurant, because it just does feel kind of neat to walk through it when no one's there and nothing's going on yet. And there was a delivery out front. Somebody just left a box on the bench outside, so I get to bring it in. And it's like, hey, it's like I work here. I'm pitching in. I'm helping. But I noticed other stores like that, kind of boutique-y little restaurants and stuff, that aren't open. A lot of stuff not open. And then as I walked some more, it's like, okay, it is mostly, it's just residential, I think, generally. But it is, like, mixed, because there's also some factory-ish kind of stuff going on. Just a little bit, but some. Warehouses and stuff. And I guess that's one thing with Japan in general, is it is sort of more mixed than North America is, where every neighborhood kind of does everything, just to different percentages. Because, yeah, back in Canada, I grew up on a busy, noisy street, which was a bit of a bummer, but it was nice that at least because I was on the major... The city split into north and south, so I was on the major route of the north side of Fredericton, New Brunswick. So there were stores around, convenience stores and drugstore down the street, and if you go a little further, there's fast food and whatever. Where my friend Andrew, he lived in the Nashwauksis suburbs. And, you know, very nice, quiet suburbs where no one's going to steal your bike. That's nice. But I remember he had to ask his dad once when we were hanging out to get a ride to go buy a bag of chips. He's like, yeah, I got a few dollars that we could go grab some chips, but I'll ask my dad. And his dad was like, no, I'm busy. I'm not driving you to buy a stupid bag of chips. And it was like, I was like, man, that is weird, but it is kind of true. We'd have to walk for half an hour each way from here just to buy a bag of chips. I mean, it's not like we were up to anything. We could have done that. But that's like the North American residential areas. There's fucking nothing there. It's just houses. A half hour walk is like a bonus. If you're in a really big suburb in the States or something, forget about it. You're never escaping. Go get a car. And I'm walking under. Oh, there's words on it. The Shinkai Bridge. I'm looking at the symbols and it's like, hey, I could use this as a learning opportunity. Shinkai Bridge. It's like, yes, fucking if. As if I could ever remember these extremely complicated symbols. Just from walking by one time. Yeah, I think I'm just gonna keep walking down this bridge and just see what happens. See where I end up. I think there's a park eventually if I get to the end. I was gonna wander toward the Sky Tree just because I didn't know what to do from here. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I guess the Sky Tree, right? But I'll get to it in no hurry. So when I found this nice little river, it's like, yeah, I'll just walk here. But yeah, that was another thing as I left. It's very, very nice day out. Very beautiful. Beautiful clear skies. It's a little breezy, but the weather is like, man, it must be like 14 or 15 degrees. It's very nice. And I noticed once I stopped trying to puzzle together what this neighborhood is. Where does this neighborhood fit into the grand mosaic of Tokyo? What is the notable stuff? How do the percentages and the blah, blah, blahs? Once I kind of gave that up, my brain was just like, I don't know, who cares? It's just kind of everything. Yeah, mainly residential and kind of everything. Stop thinking about it. Just fucking enjoy walking around. And it was weird because it was like a little, I had like a little mental force field up. Not a force field, but just something where I wasn't focusing. The irony of like, I wasn't focusing on where I am because I was focusing too much on where I am. And then when I stopped, I just was like, ah, man, I just feel good. Not because of this neighborhood specifically, though I like that it's not very busy. It seems there's like people walking around and stuff, but it's certainly not like crowded. So that's obviously my favorite feeling. But just walking around, it's like, ah, I'm back in Tokyo. Not only that, but I'm in a part that I've never quite been to. I've only really been to the Sky Tree. And now I'm a little beyond the Sky Tree. And it just made me think of in the anime Super Cub, when the main character, it's just all about a girl who becomes obsessed with motorcycles, Super Cub motorbikes. And when she looks at her motorcycle, she gets this goony look that she's just like, yay, my fucking motorcycle is so cool. It's just how I, just like, yeah, I feel like that right now. Just like, just walking around nowhere, going to nowhere in Japan. Got a little, warm tea. The teas are like, either you get the, like the barley and the wheat tea that have no sugar, or you get the English style royal tea stuff that is mega sugar. So I got mega sugar today, but it really is good. It's like candy. Somehow, like, too much sugar in coffee I find off-putting, but too much sugar in tea, I don't do it often, but it really is fucking good. God, it's good. But yeah, it's just nice. Just like, yeah, dude, this is fucking nice. So yesterday when I got caught in the rain, it only got worse. Man, did it get worse. I did look at some umbrellas, but umbrellas ain't. I was hoping they'd just be, I don't know, super cheap, because they are. They're just made in China, disposable umbrellas that are everywhere, but it still cost me like 10 bucks for one of those great big cool umbrellas. And the weather does not have any more rain in the docket. I'm not sure when the rainy season is, but I think it's in the summer sometime. So I don't think there's even going to be a bunch more rain. But even if there is, I mean, there's umbrellas everywhere. It's just that thing of like, if I was to just take an umbrella that's around, I really got to be sure that it is just an abandoned umbrella, you know, that it's not someone's umbrella. But I mean, Tokyo is just littered with umbrellas. Surely if I need one, I can find an umbrella somewhere. My little collapsible umbrella, it's so nice because it's so portable. I've got it on me right now. But one of the sprockets finally broke and I'm like, man, how am I going to fix this thing? And I realized I do have Band-Aids. I bought a bunch of Band-Aids from a convenience store and I rarely need them. I only use them if I'm starting to develop a blister. And right now my feet are nice and calloused up. No problems there. So it's like, I think I can fix my umbrella just with these Band-Aids. In fact, maybe I'll sit down next time I get to a bench and I will do that. Because, yeah, it's probably ready to let this fucking umbrella go. It's just extremely useful to have an umbrella that you can fold down into a small size. And that doesn't seem extremely common around here. Because, again, I guess when they get rain, they get for real rain. So they just want a great big effing umbrella. A no fooling around umbrella. And there's a guy walking backwards on this path. I respect the dedication because it does work different muscles. It's an interesting feeling to walk backwards, but it's hard to do because there's not that many places where you can just walk backwards without worrying about it. So here he had to keep looking back over his shoulder. Definitely looked like a pain, but he was doing it. He was sticking with the plan. But yeah, I went to just a Family Mart and I just got... It's not the kind of thing I usually get here, but it was really good. It was just like a little wrap with like shredded cabbage and, I don't know, barbecue chicken or something in it. But yeah, just stood outside under an awning next door watching the super hard rain come down, and it's like, ah, this is kind of nice. That kind of like perfect movie rain straight down. And back at the Airbnb, like I was saying yesterday, last episode, the guy who I helped get in, the other Canadian, because he didn't have all of his info from the Airbnb, so I got us in the door. Anyway, he was there, and yeah, I was going to give him the door code, but he disappeared off somewhere. So I saw him again, and he's like, hey, can I get the door code? And I was like, yes, I will give you the door code. Turns out his name is Daniel. Daniel from Vancouver. But yeah, I think I'll just... Let me just ramble a little bit about this Airbnb, because it's weird. It's like it's got definite issues, but I guess I feel cautiously optimistic still about it. I feel a certain fondness for this place, but there's a lot of things that could wear on me. We'll see. Principal among them being, because I'm, it's like bunks, not capsules. I thought this was like a capsule hotel place, but it's not at all. It really is just... They had this weird little restaurant that's only open 10% of the time. And upstairs they've converted it into mostly rooms. So the bunks are only... I think my room is the only one with bunks. And it's only four. So it's not that bad. And it's a really good deal. Like, I was feeling a little bad about spending $48 a day in Fukuoka for an entire apartment. I mean, it was fucking awesome. And I am going to go back there if I can next time I visit Fukuoka. It's worth it. It was a really good place. But that adds up really fast, where this place is like $22 a day. And that just feels better to me. Because, like, I'm not traveling for an apartment, you know? I could do that anywhere if I just wanted a cool apartment. It doesn't matter where it is. I don't really care about the apartment. I care about the place. I just want somewhere to go fucking pass out at night, you know? So I love the idea of just spending $22 a day. To me, that's like perfect. That I don't feel guilty about spending my poor deceased dad's money to travel when I'm only spending 20 bucks a day to stay in Tokyo, you know? He would be okay with that. He'd be like, good job, that's a good deal. Whereas once you get up to $50 a day, it's like, are you just... What is this? Are you really trying? Are you trying to be careful with this money, or are you just blowing it like a big fucking spoiled idiot? I guess everybody's got a different place where they would feel that way. For me, it's somewhere between 20 and 50. I mean, 50 is a lot more than 20. If you're just staying somewhere for like 2 or 3 days, like, hey, whatever. It's actually a great deal to get a whole apartment for 50 bucks. But I'm here for 90 days, you know? It's only the only way to make this sustainable in any way, or comparable, I guess. When I can travel for about the same amount of money as I was spending back home or wherever, then it doesn't feel bad. I don't feel guilty about it. It's like, yeah, well, especially if I was living in Vancouver or Toronto, I'd be spending this money anyway, and I get to spend it traveling around to a different place. Like, sweet. And if the trade-off is I only get a little wee space to myself, that's fine. You know, everything I own fits in a book bag. I can deal with that. And in fact, yeah, this bed I've got, it's a little bit wide. So basically half the bed is just where I put my stuff, and the other half is where I sleep, and that's it. That's all the space I got, but I mean, I think it's okay. That part doesn't bother me. Where did all that noise come from all of a sudden? It's weird because I'm not done walking down the river. It's still a very long path ahead of me with a nice scenic view, but suddenly everything is loud as fuck and I don't even know what's making that noise. All right, well, I'm going to take a quick break until I get beyond the noise. Some phantom construction is going on. But snoring guy is the one legitimate problem. And that's not an actual problem with the place. It's just bad luck. And if I was in capsules, that, you know, it would help some. But the fact that we're just in beds, oh my God, it's like he's next to me. It's like his mouth is next to my ear and he's just snoring. It's insane. How loud this fucking guy is. And I know if you're a snoring person, it's not, you can't help it. It's just something weird with your biology and somehow you're not aware you're doing it. I don't know how that's fucking possible. But this guy is a fucking big time horrifying snorer. So that sucks. But that's not the place's fault. Okay, the noise ended. Let's cautiously walk and just see if it starts up again. But yeah, this place, it reminds me a bit of the place in Senganjaya, in the sense that with Senganjaya, I could tell it was a relatively new property. And they had initially really tried hard to make everything fancy pants. You got a little tablet, you got to sign in. It really like tried to give the vibe of it being like a hotel experience, you know. But it had gotten to the point that they'd been running it long enough that it was starting to fall apart a little. Like their instructions were out of date. They were telling me to download apps and weird stuff that don't matter anymore. The app was supposed to like unlock the door with an app, and instead they just taped the lock permanently open with a sign that says, "Don't worry, door's just open." You know, just a lot of weird shit where it's starting to get a little unraveled. This place is also like that, except this place started off actually being cool. Like the way that the restaurant on the bottom floor is like a very cool, hip place. Not that I've ever seen it in action or seen anyone in it, but you can just tell walking through it, like, this is a rad place. This place is cool. And the whole Airbnb has that feeling. Like, you go up some really steep, not quite Amsterdam-level stairs, but steep enough that as you walk back down the stairs, it very much triggers the feeling of just, like, there's a pit here. There's a hole. If I fall, I'm really going to get hurt. So be careful. But then up on the second floor is my little room with the four bunks and a bunch of private rooms. I wonder how much the private rooms are. It would be very nice to have a private room, but it's probably considerably more than 20 bucks a day. It's such a shame too about the snoring guy, because the other two guys are a dream. They're so quiet. But then there's a fourth floor with more private rooms, and there's like just so much stuff that you could tell at one point was very cool. There's like a little nook with some magazines and books and stuff, and a little place so you could sit, and a little microwave, and I'm like, oh, I guess you could kind of do some cooking here. But a good example of how they've obviously been running this for some number of years now and have stopped kind of caring is like there's a fridge, and the fridge has got the sign that's like, hey, label your stuff so we know what it is. If there's unlabeled stuff, we might have to throw it away. But then under that, just out of order. No, sorry, there's not actually a fridge. And upstairs, I was like, oh, there's actually a laundry machine here. But you got to spend 200 yen to do laundry. And I'm like, I guess that's not so bad. But it's also all piled up with all the towels and stuff from this actual property. So it's like, I don't know. What am I supposed to do? Fight through your stuff? Like, I don't know. It's like a weird combination of organized and chaos. Of like, oh, in some ways, this is cool and thoughtful. And in some ways, it's all just kind of weird and messed up. And the entry thing very much was like Senganjaya, where just the instructions were bizarre and seemingly irrelevant. I don't know. Communication from whoever runs this place is a lot less than a normal Airbnb. And yeah, the other guy, Daniel from Vancouver, like they just never sent him the info at all. If he didn't run into me, you know? And then how he was still asking me when I got back after walking through the rain for 90 minutes, like, hey, can you give me the door code? I mean, presumably that means that they never got back in touch with him about anything yet at that point. So it's kind of like the guy I met in Montreal, the guy from India. It's like, I'm lucky that I'm having an okay experience with these places, but it's like the roll of the dice, because this other guy who's also here is not having that experience. It's just like, eerie. So I don't know, the place is kind of cool and kind of neat, but also kind of shit and kind of no one cares. But I mean, that kind of works for me. I mean, I don't want to be pampered. I don't necessarily want to be catered to. And it's such a neat feeling to just be in some neighborhood a little south of the Skytree, and you just know the code to go into this fucking restaurant, and you just walk to the back of the restaurant and go through a door and go up some stairs and just go pass out in a bunk up there. It's so cozy and neat. I don't know, because I'm just going to spend all day outside anyway, walking around. Fuck it. But yeah, my main plan, my strategy whenever I'm in a place like this is to try to stay out of sync with everyone else's routine, which so far has been no problem. Everybody pretty much went to bed by like 10 p.m. yesterday. And then I heard people getting up and taking off at like the crack of dawn, like real early. Like, I think the snoring guy left at like 6 a.m. So I stayed up until way too late. But the nice thing about being out of sync, and even in some ways the nice thing about snoring, is you know for sure somebody's asleep when they're snoring. So I knew I was not disturbing the guy under me by climbing out of the fucking bunk bed and going to pee, because he didn't stop snoring. So I was like, no problem. And his snoring is so loud that it's almost like, just because it's so awkward at night when it's that quiet, and every little time you move, it makes the bed creak and it makes a noise, or you rustle the curtain in front of your fucking bed and the little runners that it's on make noise. Everything makes noise. But this guy's snoring really absorbed all the noise, so I didn't feel bad either about just that I was still up doing stuff. There was no way I was keeping anybody up, you know. If anyone was being kept up, it wasn't my fucking fault. The problem was, just once it finally was, I don't know, 2 a.m. or whatever, and I was like, okay, I gotta go to bed. I put my head at the opposite end from the snoring guy, just to get any kind of distance. And I always just put in headphones and listen to, like, rain sounds. That's what I do every day. So I was cranking up the volume to try to fight against the snoring guy, because it's one of the best techniques I've ever found for fighting against snoring people. But man, like, normally I gotta turn the thing up to... I put it on 2 or 3 normally. And if I gotta put it up to 5, it's because I'm in the fucking airport in Calgary. I had it up to 9 with this guy. I just was like, I just don't know what to do. This fucking guy is so insane. Like, I don't even know, evolutionarily, what's the deal with snoring? How did those people not just get found and killed immediately every night? You know, how come a saber-toothed tiger didn't go, oh, well, obviously that snoring guy's right over there, I'm gonna eat him. Why does this exist? I don't understand it at all. Because it is just so loud. It is fucking crazy. It is fucking crazy. If you're a snoring person, do something about it, man. If anyone has ever told you that you have a snoring problem, do something about it. You're ruining everyone's fucking life. I know you can't hear it. That's not the fucking issue. No one cares about you. You can fucking fuck off and die. No one wants you alive on the earth, you snoring person. You're the fucking worst. Yeah, like, it just didn't seem as evident, obviously, when I was awake and just editing shit on my computer. Once I'm trying to sleep, though, fuck, it's like a jackhammer in my fucking skull. You snoring cunt. So anyway... for some reason, too, in my sleepy brain, when he did get up at, like, 6 a.m. and left, for some reason in my mind, I'm like, oh, good, he's gone. That's all. He's moving out today. Ah, I only had one day of him. That's fine. But then when I got up, you know, once I rolled out of bed after everyone had left, unfortunately, his curtain was closed, but he had a bag near his bed. And it's like, yeah, he's still here. He's not going anywhere. He wasn't there right that moment, obviously. This guy, you always know where he is at all fucking times because of the snoring. So anyway, I'm there for a while. I'm there for like 2 weeks. So, you know, people will cycle in and cycle out. Hopefully that guy cycles the fuck out very soon. But anyway, there's no evidence of anyone else being there except us, except the four of us in this little room. There might be people in the other rooms, but I just haven't heard them or seen them or anything. So yet today, by the time I finally rolled out of bed, like, the whole place was just empty. No one was in my little room. No signs of anyone anywhere else. No one even in the restaurant downstairs. So I just took a nice shower, had a little shave, brushed my teeth. Like, no problem. No one's here. Everything's cool. Because if it were full up, I mean, there's like two showers, one on each floor, it probably wouldn't be too bad. But basically, this little routine already seems like relatively comfortable. I'm going to come in later than everybody else. I'm going to wake up later than everybody else. Basically, it's sort of pseudo feels like I got the place to myself a little bit. The only problem is the snoring guy. That snoring guy is a serious issue, and I don't know what to do besides smother him in his sleep. He's probably trained to survive that. I'll start snoring out of his ears or something. I've never even seen the guy. That's the other weird thing. I've seen the other two guys, but not the snoring guy. So yeah, not ideal, but I mean, definitely not terrible. And I really do think once that snoring guy leaves, even if a different snoring guy moves in who's only half as bad of a snoring person, then I think it's very doable. If somehow the snoring guy is there for the whole 2 weeks, that's trouble. Then I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, maybe I'll just get used to it. I was a little bit getting used to the fucking trains going by in Akigawa. You never know. So yeah, even though the place is like a bunk situation, which I just need to be more vigilant in future. Like, what am I signing up for? I'm just tired of these bunk beds. I don't want to do that shit anymore. But the price is certainly right. The place is actually kind of cool. And this is a very neat neighborhood to just stroll out of a... It's like, you know, just creeping out in the morning. And slowly they crept out to get some air. But not only am I walking out in kind of a cool street in a sort of cool seeming neighborhood, but I'm just walking out of a cool restaurant. It's just weird. I guess way back when I first came to Japan, 2019, way back, I did see a place similar to this. Like, this is what they advertised was, like, it's a, I think in that case it was like a cafe. And at night the cafe converts into an Airbnb. But I remember in that place, it was a good deal and it was a good location, but it was a, you legitimately have to leave by this time and then you can't come back until this time. Like, you gotta be gone all day because in the day, it's kind of like the same space. The space is a coffee shop that then converts into like an Airbnb thing, which I was like, that's a little weird. I don't think so. That would have to be really fucking cheap. I've come to a branch in the river. So there does appear to be a park on the other side, but I don't know how to get there. I think I gotta go up and over a more serious bridge. It's a lot quieter on the other side. I think I can get over there. I'm gonna do that. Backtrack a little. Oh, there's people kayaking down this river. This is a fucking gentle river. There's four people kayaking away. Yeah, the Wild West days of Airbnb, they're definitely gone. The weirdest place, hands down, that I ever stayed was in Vancouver. And it was like a massage therapy place where, since he has this massage clinic, and at night, I mean, it's just sitting there. It's just an empty massage clinic. Well, that's not generating revenue. So at night, he converted it, quote unquote, into an Airbnb where you just slept on the massage tables. Like, they were those tables with the face hole in them so you can lay down with your head, you know, your face through the hole, and people can massage your shoulders and stuff. You just put an extra mat over top of that so there's no longer a hole, and you just slept on that. And there was a weird little portable shower that I did not use, because I was only there for like, I think it was 2 days, maybe 3 days, and it was just so weird. that I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. I'm not taking off my clothes while I'm here, that's for sure. I'll just get a little sweaty. I'll just be a little gross till I get to the next place that is way more normal than this. And that was another case of, yeah, I had to get up in the morning, get the hell out. Could come back in the evening after the business was closed. But I think even then, it's like I had to come back at a specific time so that the people who worked there could let me and the other people doing this cockamamie plan in. So it certainly wasn't expensive. But that was definitely a case of the Airbnb not being completely forthright about how this shit's gonna work. Because I would never have booked that. That's insane. Thank God I was only there for 2 or 3 days or whatever. So I guess there's a happy middle where, yeah, I say I don't want to be catered to, and I say I want to just, it'd be nice just to have those old school Airbnbs where you just squeeze in somewhere. But there is a limit. That was too much. That was fucking weird and silly and strange. I wonder how much that was. I wonder if I dig back through my Airbnb history, if I could figure that out, because I don't know. I mean, it wasn't expensive, but I don't know that it was. I mean, it's very rare for anything to be less than $20 a day. I got to assume it was somewhere in that vicinity. So, I mean, when you think of it that way, this place I'm at now is pretty wonderful. I got a code. I can just go in whenever I want, tuck away my little fucking bunk in the corner upstairs. Since I don't have to get up in the morning, when I get up nearer to noon, it's like, you know, the place is just to me. No one else is around. No one's hanging out there. They just get up in the morning and take off. Really, the only problem is the snoring guy, and that's just an act of God. So yeah, I guess for the price, like, I really can't complain. You know, I almost like it. It's almost cool. But yeah, I guess we'll see. Daniel from Vancouver, he said he was there for 3 days. 3 days isn't so bad. That seems all right. But I think this is the point where I was getting kind of worn out just booking Airbnbs. I ended up going through on this trip like 9 different Airbnbs. And this is number 7, you know. So that's why I'm here for maybe a little too long. Oh, there's the Sky Tree. There's the Sky Tree in the distance. Man, I'm standing in front of 2 different drink machines in this park. I unfortunately got it in my head that I don't like Georgia coffee, the Coca-Cola brand. So it's like, well, this whole machine now, that's out. And, you know, maybe it's really not that bad, but this other one, okay, it had a mystery bottle from Dido, this orange bottle I've never seen before. It's some kind of hot tea, but I did just have hot tea earlier, so I'm going to try this. Dido Blend Premium Demi-Tasse Cafe Mocha. That sounds pretty fucking good. Oh, yeah, the Tully's thing. The Tully's black coffee with soda water. It's called Gassata with 2 S's. And I looked that up and it's a fairly rare combination. There's different ways to make it. You can either do it with cold brew coffee or just with espresso or just whatever kind of black coffee. It is basically just 1-to-1 black coffee and soda water. But that specific name, Gassata, is definitely Tully's name for it. It doesn't seem like that's what they call it in Italy, because if you search that, all that comes up is only the Tully's coffee. But there are some blogs and stuff about it, like, hey, here's our new favorite way to drink coffee this summer, and it only goes back to like 2021 or so. It seems like a pretty new discovery. Although, again, maybe they've been doing this in Italy since time immemorial. Who the fuck knows? But yeah, no information on how I can actually get this drink again. I could order it, but other than that, I don't know. But it is a thing that sort of kind of exists. All right, let's fucking try this Cafe Mocha. Cool, and I successfully paid for it with my Suica card. And this is basically the same type of machine that I failed at. I really, it's so weird, that one park where I was trying to buy a soup and I couldn't, and it was giving me a weird error. I still wonder what that error was, because it hasn't been a problem ever since. Whew, this is very hot, and it's actually kind of a nice warm day out. This is a little excessive. Let me let this cool a bit. Now I'm going to give it a taste test. Can't turn off the recorder till I give the taste test to the Dido Premium Demi-Tasse. I feel like Dido is a pretty decent brand, but I only think that because they make the crab soup that you can get in these machines sometimes. And that's just such an unusual thing that, again, yeah, I'm just building associations that I don't know if they're actually true or not. I'm like, ah, Georgia, no, not that good. What's the other one that kind of sucks? Boss. But Dido's kind of good. Tully's really is good. Tully's shit just tastes good. And Starbucks, as lame as that is, Starbucks stuff is not bad in Japan. Oops, dropped my can. All right, let's try this. Well, that's pretty good. They don't do a ton of mocha stuff in Japan. It's certainly around, but it's not super common. But it tastes like dark chocolate. That's very nice. All right, well, I'm going to go walk across this bridge and see what this other park is. But it's one thing, I guess, because I've been walking along that river this whole time. There's, like, been no convenience stores. And from here, I really don't see any. I still see the Sky Tree in the distance. But it's just a lot of apartment buildings where I am now. However, I couldn't help but notice that Dido machine did sell potato chips. Chipstar, I think they're called. It's just like Japanese Pringles. That'll do. Get some Chipstar in me, just so I got something in my belly. Man, yeah, I can only see the top half of the Sky Tree. Again, it's probably, I wonder. I mean, because, you know, it's always further than I think it is. But let's see. I mean, I can, again, the magic of Google Maps, I can find out. And yeah, again, not like it's some big deal to see the Sky Tree. But I will eventually. Okay, it looks like Ojima Komatsugawa Park is where I'm heading. Oh, and there is a 7-Eleven right there, near Higashiojima Station. Oh well, fuck it, I guess I'll just go there. Oh, and I'm by the Arakawa River, speaking of. Is that what that river is? Speaking of bigger rivers. Yeah, it's like the Arakawa and the Naka River go right next to each other. Isn't the Arakawa River the one that I walked to from Itabashi? Yeah, it is. Where I just, like, hung out on the shore. Or by the riverside. Yeah, and I mean, I guess that makes sense because I was saying, like, even though it was a fairly epic walk to walk from Ikebukuro to here, I still, you know, I still did it. It's not like it took days or something. All these neighborhoods are weirdly close together. There's Shinjuku, there's Shibuya. Like, I wouldn't say Tokyo's a walkable city, necessarily. You definitely want to take the train between neighborhoods. But you can do it. It's not insane. It's just, it does take a while. 6 kilometers to the Sky Tree. Yeah, I mean, that's for sure further than it seems. Just that weirdness of a tower. It looks like I could walk there in no time, but that's a fair little hike. All right, what am I doing? Am I buying Chipstar or am I going to 7-Eleven? No, I will go to 7-Eleven. Let's do this up proper. I haven't eaten at all today. If I do this up proper, I just mean let's just buy some onigiri. But that's a big step up from fucking Chipstar. All right. I'm going to keep wandering around. See what I see. Well, rather than go to 7-Eleven, I guess I got near the border of the Arakawa River, and I was like, why shouldn't cross that, right? Huge ass river. There's really no good reason to cross over that today. But instead of going to 7-Eleven, I just sat at this nice little park, and it's just, again, mid-December, but for some reason it's so insanely warm. Pulled out my computer, edited a podcast, which takes for fucking ever because I won't stop talking. They're so long. But I was pushing through. It's like, nah, let's get this done. So then the sun started going down and it started getting cold. And it went from hot to cold so fast. I made it though. I made it through the whole editing thing. The sun's still up a little bit. It's still dusky. But yeah, I had to put on a fucking thermal shirt and my jacket and my little stretchy gloves. Hopefully, sometimes it warms up after the sun goes down for some weird reason. Hopefully that happens. I could use another layer. I can't believe how cold it got. But anyway, I pushed through. But yeah, it's like past 4 p.m. I hadn't eaten yet. So I was like, let me just go over to the 7-Eleven. And this magical little 7-Eleven, like I still love how you can just find stuff at certain convenience stores that just isn't at the other ones. So they had this thing, it was like about $4, which is a little more than most items are in the onigiri section. But this one was mackerel with soy sauce and ginger. And it was like barbecued mackerel with the barbecue skin on top of rice. It was like four pieces of it. And it was so fucking good. And I'm just like, what the fuck? I'm just eating like barbecue mackerel from the 7-Eleven that was just like, all I had to do was walk across the park and it was just right there. It's just like, fuck, that's so good. And then I got like a little sweet potato thing for a dessert dealy just because it was small. And it's like, I don't know, baked sweet potato in a weird way is kind of similar to cheesecake, but it's gotta be better for you. It's definitely less elaborate. I don't know. Just eating some barbecue mackerel and some sweet potato. Goddamn delicious. So fucking good. As for now, I don't know. I can still see the tip of the sky tree. So I'm like, you know what? That's a neat little guidance thing or whatever. I don't know that I'm exactly going to go to the sky tree for sure. Maybe. But just as a guidepost, I'll just walk in that general direction and see what happens. It's a great way to calibrate yourself without having to pull out your phone. Yep, there it is again. Yeah, it's not poking out very much. Definitely got to get like a view between the buildings to see it. But I'm just going to mosey in that general direction and see what happens. But yeah, this is very much just like I was saying before, I guess. Right now I'm just walking through like a little sports field. Nice little residential zone, but not at all bad. Not a bad little spot. And yeah, it's so weird to find these little things like the Tully's coffee the other day, and now this barbecue mackerel. They're gonna get caught in my brain. I'm gonna be like, oh no, how come the other 7-Elevens don't have them? You know? I'm getting caught up in my own brain. I mean, this is probably like a weird little psychological experiment too, right? The human desire for scarcity. I mean, these things are better than the average thing, for sure. That coffee was really cool and interesting. Barbecue mackerel, I think, is pretty clearly a step above just your average kind of random onigiri from 7-Eleven. That was really fucking good. But, you know, it's not that big a deal if I don't find him anymore. But it's that little thing in your brain where it's like, oh, I found the treasure before. Now I gotta find it again. All right, well, clearly it's 5 o'clock. Let's end with the 5 o'clock song. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next time. Alright, that is not indeed the end of the episode. Usually if I end an episode prematurely, I just snip that little part off. But I wouldn't want to deny anybody the 5 o'clock song, which for the record was not 5 o'clock, it was 4:30. But it's definitely at 5 o'clock some places. So I mean, I think instead of just being eternally confused by this for the rest of my goddamn existence, I just need to accept the fact that it's just not at the same time everywhere. Just different neighborhoods clearly just decide on the time that they're going to play the jingle, and that's that. Is there a weird noise in the background? What the heck is that? That's probably a good reason for me not to keep yammering. But anyway, I finally found some fucking cough drops, the Hall's cough drops, that I've been just dying trying to find some. Lawson's. I don't know if that's where I got them before, but I got them this time at Lawson's. So I'm officially putting a check mark in the Lawson's category. If you need Hall's cough drops, try Lawson's. It's kind of weird too to buy two packs of cough drops. And I just want to tell the lady, like, don't worry, I don't have a cold. I'm not sick. I just enjoy the cool blast. You know, this thing is just, it'll get you through any physically uncomfortable situation, especially flights, but plenty. I don't know, you're waiting in a line at a government office, you're on the subway, anything. Just pop one of these in and you just won't be the coughing person. It'll just smooth it all out. That's all. But I can't explain all that, and plus no one cares. But anyway, what I wanted to say really is Yeah, as the sun was going down, it felt extremely cold out, and I was really feeling tired. It's like, geez, maybe I should go back to the old Airbnb and try to pass out, even though I'd much rather wait till everyone else is tucked in there and I can just sneak in and not have to bump into everyone else who is staying there. But as often happens, this has happened to me in Canada all the time too, it's just the very act of the sun going down drains my energy. It makes me feel like it's the end of the day. Then once the sun is down, it's a new day. It's a new dark day, and I feel fine. So I kept seeing the sky tree, and I'm like, well, you know, it's not that far. I keep seeing it. Now it's all lit up like a popsicle on the horizon. God's popsicle. You know, those popsicles that are red, white, and blue? It's like that, because it just keeps changing color. In fact, it's green, white, and red right now. Close enough. Don't they kind of consider green and blue sometimes in Japan to be the same color? Like Aomori means the blue forest. Anyway, I'm walking toward the sky tree and I'm getting real close now. It's real big, but it's almost eerie because I always approached it before from the other side. So it gets progressively more and more hidden by buildings as you approach. And then all of a sudden you break through the line of buildings and you're at the bank of the Sumida River, and that's when it's like, fuck, boom, yeah, right on, there it is. You're still not quite there, but you have a very unobstructed view because of the river. So it's just like the perfect tableau. So here it is, being presented to you, where now I'm walking toward it from the other direction, so it's just looming. It's just looming over the city as I walk, and it's just always there. And it's so big, and it's like a little bit creepy. I didn't expect to feel like that, but staring up at it, it's just completely unnatural. It's like, dude, that is some man-made shit right there. And obviously the CN Tower and stuff, it's not unique to this particular tower at all, but just towers. It's just like, yeah, here's this one thing. Here's just this one enormous, goddamn big, tall, thin thing. It just does not belong. There's buildings, but I mean, now it's super buildings, you know? It's just like, fuck. Anyway, I'm real close, so I guess I'm probably just gonna go stand at the base of it and stare up. That's my big plan. That's what I did last time. That's as much as I can do. I don't know how I would ever be convinced to go up in a tower like that. It would be so scary to me. I guess if somebody offered, like, hey, I'll donate a huge amount of money to charity and all you got to do is go up and do this thing that other people pay money for, other people do for fun. But even then, I don't know if I'd do it. I think at that point, I would instead spend that energy berating and shaming the person who made me that offer. Be like, what kind of asshole are you? You'll only give the money to charity if I do this cruel thing that terrifies me? Fuck you, dickhead. You're a fucking asshole. Try to make them feel like a shithead and turn public opinion against them rather than against me for not doing it. So yeah, I just don't think so. I don't think I would ever go up in one of these things. I suppose, you know, then if they upped the ante, if my public shaming turned them into a supervillain, and then it became, hey, I've taken everyone you've ever known, and now they're hanging from the edge of the tower until you go up, I guess then I'd do it. Even that, though, I knew some people in Toronto that paid money to do that. It's called the Edge Walk. You go up and they attach you to a harness and you literally walk around the outside. So scary. That's like the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life. Man, it does look pretty fucking cool though. It's actually kind of neater as you get closer. It's hard to get a good shot of it though because of the power lines. There really are power lines everywhere. But it is kind of cool just catching it in between the buildings. Man, you can really tell. I mean, I love these photographers on Instagram that post pictures of Japan, but they barely resemble reality. Like, the colors are so super saturated and whacked out, and every little knob is tweaked, and every little, just so that every color pops, and everything is all like, whoa, and it looks awesome. But as beautiful as Japan is, it does not fucking look like that, dude. It does not look like that shit. It's a lot plainer than that. So maybe it doesn't work so well in a picture, but it's plenty pretty in real life. Imagine if Japan really looked like all those like cyberpunk imagery of like just everything like boom, blasting you with light. I don't even know how you'd walk around that place in real life. That'd be like a bad thing. Ooh, man, though, yeah, I don't know that I would like to live this close. Just to walk around my neighborhood and always have this goddamn Mount Doom shit right here. It's so freaky. It's so big. It's so big. Yeah, it's just, it feels so unnatural. It's like, as it starts to be hidden by the buildings. So I'm walking along and the buildings are passing by and this fucking tower, it does change in size and perspective, but so gradually that you can't see it changing. So it just seems like it's just floating. It's just like a ghost ship in the air. Yeah, it's weird because I was saying before how, I have this nice little spiritual attachment to different places in Japan, and one of them is the Sky Tree. But it's the Sky Tree from a distance, not the Sky Tree from up close. From up close is a whole different thing. From up close, it's like, this is pretty spooky and weird. But yeah, again, I felt the same way about the CN Tower. If I stood at the base of the CN Tower and stared up, yeah, just I would freak myself out. Just, it's like, it's just too big. The hell is this shit? Ooh, I don't know if it's because it's December, so there's like Christmas lights everywhere. I mean, obviously, as I was just saying, I've never had a great time being beneath a tower and looking up at the horrifyingness of it. Oh, yeah, no, geez, I just can't. I don't know if it's like these extra lights are fucking me up even worse, or it's just progressively getting older and just losing the ability to withstand stuff. I don't know, I feel like... what is that word where you feel kind of sick? Like motion sickness. Like, I guess queasy. Queasy's all. But I literally feel like a little bit ill staring up at this fucking tower. Oh, no thank you. No thank you. No thank you. So that's a bit of an inauspicious homecoming for... I mean, it's the logo of this dang podcast. I found this cool drawing on DeviantArt of the Sky Tree. But again, it's the Sky Tree from a distance. The Sky Tree from a distance is sweet. It's a beacon. It's fucking cool. The Sky Tree from underneath is it's an affront to God. It's so fucked up. It's way too big. It is so fucking big. I don't like that. I don't like that feeling. But it is still, it's pretty nice around here, all the Christmas lights and stuff. It's pretty cool. This is all right, but I'm not gonna hang around. I'm gonna go. So. Oh yeah, there we go. Who knows? Who knows how to describe the functionings of the inner ear? Or whatever the heck is wrong with me, but I went and just walked across. There's a bunch of bridges across the Sumida. So the one I took, just to my right is the bridge that the trains go across, and it's all lit up purple right now. It's got purple lights along it, and then purple archways on the top part. It looks fucking cool as hell. There's a boat going down the river. It's got all its lights lit up. And I guess this place is isolated enough that you can come here to practice your singing, which I guess is what that was. Yeah, and of course the Sky Tree's all lit up, and just seeing the Sky Tree across from me, like across the river, and then there's kind of like a highway overpass, and then then the tower. It looks really good from this side. It looks really cool, and it feels fine. It doesn't feel... It just felt awful being under it. I don't know why. It just is a weird feeling. Over here is just way prettier, even though this is kind of a weird area. If you spend enough time here, you do start to find abandoned alcohol cans and definite evidence of people sleeping along the riverbanks. Maybe not this time of year. It's not super cold, but it's not summer. You know, it's a bit of a grimy area in that sense. But it's really fucking beautiful. This is absolutely how I recommend seeing the Sky Tree. I mean, obviously, if you're visiting, you're gonna want to go right up to it. But make sure you see it from the other side of the Sumida. It's awesome. Oh, there's a Tully's here. I thought this was a Starbucks. Did it transform? They don't have any canned Tully's products, so the search continues for the Quesada. Yeah, you can kind of hear the clank, the clanking of the train going over the river. And this other place, Cafe W.E. Wall for Everyone. W.E. equals Wall for Everyone. Yeah, I mean, great, but what is wall? That doesn't explain shit. What does that mean? But yeah, I'm sure one of these used to be a Starbucks. So I guess they converted. Because it's similar to the Starbucks in Ohori Park in Fukuoka. I used to always think like, oh, it'd be nice to come here early in the morning and sit here before it gets busy. That would be sweet. But even though I'm within walking distance now, the chances of me getting up early like that are slim to none. And it'd probably ruin the whole rest of my day. I think it's better to sleep in a little. Especially since Snorri McGee is waiting for me when I get back. God, yeah, that tower looks so fucking good. This side of the river, dude. I mean, this obviously, too, when I talk about the tower as one of my just, like, precious little things that I was like, oh, yeah, that I felt like I had a connection to. In Tokyo, it was from this side. It was from losing my passport and having my bank card shut off and then walking from Ikebukuro, just walking and walking and walking. And I didn't have Google Maps then. I sort of did, but I could only fire it up at convenience stores and I didn't bother that often. I mostly just used the tower itself to navigate until, you know, despite how big the tower is, it's surprising how often it can get lost behind some buildings and you're like, shit. I think I'm walking the right way, but somehow I can't see the biggest tower in the world. It's not the biggest, but I can't remember. I mean, obviously, like, the Burj Khalifa, that building, it's, like, double this size, which is absolutely wild. And there's some radio towers that are bigger, but as far as freestanding towers go, this is the first or second. It's very, very big. But, yeah, just the walking and the walking and the walking and getting to this, the banks of this river... This was where I felt like I completed the quest, because I, in fact, stopped at this point. This is where I turned around and went back. I didn't walk all the way to the tower. And now I see that it's a good thing I didn't. That extra half hour would not be worth it to feel queasy and weird. Man, this train really inches along. There must be a reason. I guess maybe this light clanking is better than the noise of a rush. Maybe it just rattles everything too much. But yeah, this is interesting. When these trains go across the river, they really go slow. That's not usual for Japan. Yeah, you know, from here I was going to just walk down the Sumida to the bridge and back across to the old Airbnb. But yeah, since I'm still trying to eat up time, I would still rather get there a little bit later and hope that everybody's passed out by the time I arrive. I think I'm gonna go into Asakusa and walk through there because I bet it's pretty right now. Nice and lit up. Sensoji is the name of the big temple? Maybe I'll go there. But yeah, I believe that's an episode. So thank you very much for listening. I'm glad my return to the Sky Tree turned out in the end. Yeah, oh yeah, that's good. I'm just turned around and there it is. It's strange how... it is so weird just how the human brain works, where from this side of the river, it's like a kind uncle overlooking you and watching over you. hello there, I'm the Sky Tree. I'll make sure that everything's okay. But from the other side, it was like, nah, I'm the Sky Tree. I'm going to fall on you. It just felt fucked up and weird. I don't know, man. Who can determine what's happening in my brain, and who the fuck cares? All right, thank you for listening. Hopefully I'll see you next episode for more Japan adventures. I mean, I'll be having more Japan adventures. I mean, hopefully you'll join me. And until then, a good a fucking a bye.